You look like a little chocolate-covered cherry, Lilium Bustle.
Oh, do I? Thank you. I got my hair's a little, like, more ready magenta than it usually is. And yours is kind of pink, Jen Ponton.
It is. I put in more pink up, well, not technically, up top in this frame, but in the ends of my hair. I like the pink the best, and especially after having blue for the whole fucking summer.
Right. Right.
It was.
I just came across our notes. Jen and I worked, Jen is the lead in a feature film, and I was helping out on it, and I found my notebook with all the notes. And I was like, what is this? I looked at it and I was like, why is she, what? Okay. I get it.
Right.
The stuff that I'm using now is, I think it's called Strawberry Leopard. It is like all of the other temporary things, you know, gloopy, hard to work with, and doesn't last as long as anyone would like.
Yes, fair.
But I've been trying to figure out what it smells like, and I was like, well, probably they're going for strawberries if they're going to name the whole line Strawberry Leopard, regardless of what the color is. And I sat up, I shit you not, at like 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and I was like, Smurfberry Crunch.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Smurfberry Crunch, baby.
Shit. Throw us right back there.
Smurfberry Crunch is fun.
And
too.
That, thank you for your product placement, is exactly what all the fucks is.
Mm-hmm. Waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and missing a cereal you haven't had since you were 9. That stuff was good, man.
Oh, my God.
That one and the Kix with the wild berries in it. Do you remember that? Kix with
wild
the berries
berry
in
Kix
it?
Was the shit.
Yeah.
Yes. Kix was a major staple cereal in my house.
Kix is one of those ones that I absolutely love. And also, it will dissolve the inside of my mouth if I eat too much of it. Like, it's not even that crunchy,
really,
but
craggy.
Because... Yeah, they crack in half, and then they're like little bombs just scraping the flesh out of my mouth.
You get a bunch of stalactites and stalagmites in there.
No. Mostly just regrettable gaping sores. That's all.
Oh no!
All the fucks, when your heart feels like the inside of my mouth after Doritos.
Oh, you have a very sensitive little mouth.
I really do. I think that I must have like thinner mucus membranes than other people. Because I can't just like willy-nilly eat Cap'n Crunch or Bugles or... And it's not like a tooth issue. It's really like I get pineapple. I get canker sores really easily.
You do?
And yeah. Anything that's super acidic. I get little bumpies on the inside of my mouth.
Did I tell you about the stupidest thing I've ever done?
No.
Probably not. Maybe. So when I was in college, my senior year of college is when Halls came out with Halls Defense.
Okay.
Which is their vitamin C supplements.
Yeah,
right?
I like those. They're delicious.
They're fucking delicious. Now they make them in watermelon, but it used to just be citrus. And they were all delicious. And the most banging one by far was the pink grapefruit. Anyway, it was January. It was December or January. I was sucking on these. I was just pounding them down. No stopping. And I was like, every one that I have on top of the other is going to make me more impenetrable. Lillian, I went through like bags of these things.
Oh, no.
And then I woke. It was amazing. I didn't get diarrhea. A.
Right?
But
yeah.
B.
Sugar alcohol.
I don't know. So one morning after I had way too fucking much of these, I woke up and I could barely open my mouth because the surfeit of vitamin C and also letting all that citric acid like just sit in your mouth all day long.
No.
I There are pictures of me taken where my little gums are so red and swollen.
Oh, baby.
That I look like I just had horrifying dental work done.
Oh, no.
It didn't last very long, but it was so memorable.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
It was just awful. Oh, my God.
I do remember doing things like that where you're like, well, if one of these is good, eight of these must be better.
Yes. Yes. Why would it not?
And the answer to that is no. My God.
Oh, my God.
No, Hall's Defensor is definitely a favorite around here, too. Don just got home. You're probably going to hear him say hi in the
so
recordings.
Good.
I'm trying to think of, so I've definitely done that with something, but I'm trying to think of what. Oh, nobody, this makes no sense at all. And I wouldn't doubt that I have told this story before, but when I was a senior in high school, junior in high school, I had this wonderful teacher named Miss Tulaski. And she, you know, it was like the AP English class. We were all smart asses. Everybody had like, you know, started applying to colleges and nobody was really paying attention to things anymore. And I think that she did this on purpose just to see who was actually looking at handouts. But that's rotten. That's a rotten thing to do.
Ooh.
Goody. We called her Goody Tulaski because we were studying the Crucible and they call everybody Goody. She just passed out a sheet about Stephen Crane's The Red Badge of Courage. And I don't think that we were even reading it and discussing it in class. I think that everyone thought that it was like a study sheet of how we were going to look at the book. So the day before this enormous project is due, she goes, well, how's everybody's Red Badge of Courage project doing? And literally the whole class froze. Everyone was like, project? And you could hear people flipping through their binders and stuff, trying to find the piece of paper. And you heard one or two people be like,
And then
like one, maybe two students were like, oh, yes, mine is almost done. And then no one else would cop to it. No one else would cop to not knowing that there was an enormous project worth like a big chunk of our grade due the next day. With like
awful
visuals. Yeah, it was not cute. That wasn't nice at all.
This was high school?
Yeah. And so to keep myself awake to finish the project. And by the way, my mom, she could be a mess sometimes, but she was definitely the mom who would be like, you stayed up all night. I'm going to take you in to drop off your project and then you come home and sleep. She was like, I know that you'll just wind up faking a headache and sleeping in the nurse's office or like sleeping backstage in the theater. So mm-hmm. just come home and sleep. We had fleas and we had pennyroyal mm-hmm. oil around to like spray everything down with because that's supposed to keep fleas at bay. It doesn't help a lot.
Right.
I guess it's better than nothing, but it doesn't like kill fleas. It can terminate pregnancies, interestingly enough.
Whoa.
But it's like a minty lemongrassy smell. And I just slathered myself with it until it was almost burning my eyes because I needed something like stimulating to keep me awake.
Oh, honey.
And now,
I know.
Thankfully, it's not a smell that like pops up in life very often, but
you'd
it
be
is
triggered as fuck.
Ooh, boy, oh boy, man.
Oh my God.
It did the trick. It did the trick, but I was definitely like, why am I doing this to myself? Can't I just have Vivarin like a normal teenager?
I'm really glad that's not a smell you have to smell in everyday life.
Same. That and peach schnapps will forever be my nemesis.
Who is peach schnapps? I mean, I know what peach. I mean, who
well,
is that?
Clearly,
in the
it should
great
be my drag name. peach schnapps. The very first time I ever got drunk was at the Threadneedle Fair hurricane party, and it was on orange juice and peach schnapps and vodka. I think I don't know what drink that is, but it has a lot of sugar in it. And I got very, very sick.
Very ill. No.
Very, very, very ill. And when I was working at the piano bar, the erstwhile Pianist Envy, there was peach schnapps in like three of the signature cocktails. And I didn't realize that I was still so about it until I had to be around it again. And I was like, boop, boop, boop. Like I would visibly like lean back.
My God.
Foul.
I don't think I mentioned this, but when I was still in Minnesota and I took Jory for their birthday, we went to the equivalent of the shore, which is to say in the great fucking north, the top border of Minnesota, which is the boundary waters with Canada. Oh. And it was the bellows of January, and we stayed in a cabin on a lake. And as much as that sounds insane to do in the winter, it is so much crazier to do it in the winter in Minnesota.
That's totally nuts. I can't believe it.
Yeah. And so, but one of the things that we did was I played my very first game ever of beer pong.
Oh,
and I was like, Jory, what do you want for your birthday? And Jory's like, you're going to play beer pong with me. I'm like, fuck.
But oh my God.
All the cups had not cruel at all, very doable levels of orange juice and apricot nectar, which I think I had for a recipe I had just made.
Sure.
Which is really thick and syrupy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had those, and then probably vodka.
Okay.
Is my guess. So, was it vodka? Yeah, I think it was like grapefruit vodka or something. And so
screwdriver pong.
It was mostly full of, you know, virgin of beverages, but I played pong, and some of them were the nectar mixed with the vodka, and they were a little heavy, so I did not get sick, but
yeah, those things are all, you definitely have to dilute them somehow. It's sort of like when the first time I ever had eggnog with booze in it, I was like, oh, this is so thick and gloppy because it is a mixer.
Oh yeah.
Something that's meant to have something else go in it.
Yes.
By the way, fully F this no dairy bullshit. I think I mentioned the last time we recorded, I have been having cystic acne on my face. Not to brag. You too can have this. And I had originally was being treated by a doctor who went on maternity leave. The new doctor came in and was like, you need to cut out all dairy. And then the next time that I went in to her, because I was breaking out again and I needed her to put needles in my face because that's where I am now, she was like, well, have you been off dairy, wheat, and sugar? And I was like, yo, we didn't discuss all that.
Oh, come on.
But also, fuck you for not talking to me once ever about whether I had a complicated relationship with food or whether I had any history of restrictive eating or like what my relationship with food and diet was at all. Like, she didn't, for all she knew, I could already have been a gluten-free vegan, but she didn't ask.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, regardless, having my willpower around cheese slash also, like, I ordered an almond milk latte at Starbucks and it came with whipped cream, and I had waited so long for the fucking thing that I was not going to send it back. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So little things like that, which especially if you live in the New York area, sometimes you get stuck somewhere and you just have to put something in your mouth that's there.
Yes. 1,000%.
Anyway, I feel now like there's some sort of morality around my willpower tied to shame that winds up as like crags in my face. Right. So hopefully my lady is back from her having a baby. But regardless, I just want to remind people out there, because I'm a pretty good self-advocate, but I was like, yes, it does seem that this is tied to dairy. However, it would be way better if I could go back on some kind of medication and not try to handle this entirely with what goes in my mouth, so that I can occasionally have something, and it's definitely tied to dairy.
Right.
You can almost see it happening. It's awful.
Oh, honey. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. But this has been like kind of a mourning period, and I've settled into the idea that like I can't mow cheese like I used to. Full disclosure. Like, that's a whole food group for me. But but yeah, it doesn't need to be like this either.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Were there things you wanted to talk about? A couple things before we slid into, we did want to talk about like a branch of self-care today.
Yes, we did.
But I feel like you had exciting things to discuss before we went on to that.
I am writing a one-woman show.
How exciting.
I am so excited.
Oh, my God.
I think I finished my first rough draft today.
That's really fabulous.
Which is why I only used dry shampoo today, because I've just been like fucking hunched over in the dark, and it's been amazing.
Oh, my word.
I'm so excited.
Oh, my God. Well, if there's anything that I can do to like help you produce it, etc. I am.
Yes.
I got hands. They're ready to go on a deck.
Yay. I'm over the moon. It's so exciting. I'm excited. I'm deeply excited to share like all of it with you, and then whatever makes it to the final iteration.
Yes.
Then great. But
also, I'm not telling you not to tell me about it, but the one of the most interesting pieces of writing advice that I've ever gotten in my whole life was, don't tell everybody everything it is that you are planning to write, because then you will not write it.
Yes. Yes. I worked for a guy who's like, that was his whole thing. He was like, keep every secret yours, because if you start saying it, then you're not going to do it.
Oh, interesting.
Which is interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm really paraphrasing him. I'm sure he would be like horrified by that takeaway.
I think it depends on what it is, because there's a good, I'm a good manifester. When there's something out there that I need to get done, and I start like putting that out there in the world. But when it comes to a storytelling situation, for sure, for me, the frisson dissipates when I'm like, and then it goes like this, and then it goes like this. As evidenced by every book I have never written.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I was listening back on one of our podcasts, because again, I have big listens to my own podcast energy. I just like to listen to us laugh, and I hope that all of our listeners do too, because it's fun.
It is fun.
I hope it doesn't get old, because we do a lot of it.
We do an awful lot of cackling. I know, but like it's the source of joy, and we need it more than ever. So
yes. Yep. And if you don't like our joy, what are you doing here?
I mean, right? It's like those awful comments that you get. Wow, did you hear my jersey just like fight its way out of my mouth? Awful.
Awful.
It's like those awful comments that you get on Instagram, and then you're like, you follow me.
Right. Yes. What you doing?
You follow me.
Yeah, yeah. I have been unsettled by how little conflict I have had online lately.
Great.
No, I'm happy about it for sure. But also, like, that means I'm due for something big, unfortunately.
You think? Oh, like, now you have to up the ante?
Oh, absolutely not. No. No, I'm done with that. I'm not going to look for that business anymore. Are you on Threads?
Technically. I have not made a thread yet.
I have only posted a couple times, but I have been ingesting, and I kind of dig it over there. I feel like it's a good vibe over there.
That's pretty good, because God, I'm never going to call it X.
Twitter doesn't even make any sense anymore. So it doesn't make sad. When I get notifications, then I go to look at them, and I'm like, what is this even? Like,
it's trash. It's just, it's so, yeah. It's like what MySpace became when they started doing Flash. That's the vibe. Like, what the fuck? Come on.
Flash is dead. Long live Flash. Yeah. Oh my God. That's so funny. The only good thing about Flash was Homestar Runner.
Yes.
Man.
Yes. Oh my God, I saw a meme the other day that was like, it said millennials colon Gen Z humor is so weird, and then it said millennial humor, and it had like a screenshot from Charlie the Unicorn. This was sort of late in the game. Charlie the Unicorn was maybe like 2007, and it was like,
are you talking about Planet Unicorn?
No, it was like, jump Charlie jump. Am I doing it right?
Oh, I don't know about that. Do you know about Planet Unicorn?
No.
No? I've sung you the theme song before. Are you ready to hear it again?
I am so ready.
A gay boy wished for a planet full of unicorns. Planet Unicorn, Unicorn Planet. Give it up for feathers. Whoa, Cadillac, Tom Cruise, whoa, Planet Unicorn, hey. And yes, no. One of the unicorns was named Tom Cruise, yes.
Yeah.
And it's about this boy, I don't remember his name, but he wishes for a planet. It's about a little cartoon boy and his cartoon unicorn friends on Planet Unicorn.
Oh, my shit. Well, I know it now. Can't unknow that one.
That's taking up room. That's taking up room in my head.
I love it. Yes.
And I don't know if you saw my face. That was my face where I'm like, I'm not sure if the words are going to come out of my mouth or not. But they're there. What's Charlie and the Unicorn?
Charlie the Unicorn was from 05, a Flash animated comedy short film. Just the one? And it's about this grumpy unicorn named Charlie, who sounds like this. And two little pastel unicorns are like, let's go to Candy Mountain, Charlie. Let's go to Candy Mountain. And then, like, really bad shit happens that I can't. Oh, no. He gets a kidney removed. Oh, yeah. Right. It's a romp. But, you know, the overall takeaway, as I'm sure you have lived and can now hear, is that, yeah, millennial humor is pretty fucked up.
Yeah. Yes. I'm telling you, man, I think that Tumblr gave rise to an entire other form of comedy. And I love it. Like
I do love it, yeah.
The only thing that I can think of that is even comparable is people writing after each other on bathroom walls. You know what I mean?
Oh, or like, yes. You know,
back in Roman times, etching on the fucking frescoes or whatever.
And it's created a world where somehow everyone is funny.
There's a place, yes, because you get to think about it. You can mull it over and have your esprit d'escalier come out whenever, whenever you feel like you're ready to drop that comedy bomb.
I mean, it's a gift. And I'm sure that there are some of us who would have been funny in other times who are like, hey, why is everybody funny now? But frankly, I would so much rather live in a world where everyone is fucking amusing rather than having to carry the onus.
It is a burden.
It is a burden.
It's a burden.
I can't believe, like, it used to be so hard to be a funny person or to find funny people. Mm-hmm. It was not the norm.
No.
And now everybody's quite funny, and it's...
That's not true. There's still plenty of people who are very boring and think that they're funny.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're out there. You've just curated yourself a lovely world.
I suppose I have.
Yeah, there's people out there who, yes. I saw a meme about dating that was like, the thing I hate most about dating is the part in the date where the guy realizes I'm funnier than he is and then gets mad about it.
Oh my God. Saw another meme that was just text, and it was like, drop a guy's apology in the comments. And each and everyone was like, I guess I'll go fuck myself. I guess I'll just delete my Instagram. I guess I'll just fall off a cliff and die. Like, it's like, oof. Oh, interesting. That sounds awfully familiar.
I'm sorry. So sorry. Wow. Ooh, I saw... nope, it's gone. It was... I think it so might have just been... I think it might... Oh, it was just embarrassing sex stories. It was a sex therapist who I follow, or educator or something. And they were talking about some...
Oh, I saw that.
Some yep. mishap. Yeah. It was very funny.
Oh, so good.
It was very good.
I think that was Queer Sex Therapist.
Yeah. I think that might have been it.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Me.
Also, and then I'm happy to segue.
Before we segue...
Yeah, I just started listening to the Handsome podcast, which is Tig Notaro and Fortune Feimster and
May. Oh, and May.
May, who I love and can never remember their last name.
Whitman. Nope. That's the other one. Nope, nope. May is what?
I feel like a turd. I watched May. All of Feel Good. I've watched all of their specials.
Martin.
They're it's so
the comedian
good. as as you can imagine, just listening to the three of them talk about anything is,
oh my God,
par excellence.
My whole fucking heart.
You know, the whole thing with Tig Notaro is that she doesn't know who people are. It makes me feel so good. She had a whole TV show that was basically like Stump Tig, or Tig doesn't know who you are, or something like that. And they would bring on like James Vanderbeek, and she'd be like, "I think I've seen you on TV."
That's perfect.
So she was at a party where her friend was like, "Oh, come, you'll know lots of people." And Tig thought it would be comedians, and it turned out to be like movie people and producer people. And she was like, "I don't know." So she this girl introduces herself and she's like, "Did you say Lena?" And she goes, "Oh, Selena." And it was Selena Gomez. But even after, she was like, "Oh, Selena, nice to meet you." And she like stepped shit. Back in the crowd and her wife was like, do you know who that is? She was like, "No, I do not. I don't know who that is."
I love it so much.
You were like, "Lena?" But yeah, I could listen to them talk about anything. So if you need a dose of that,
other people to hear, listen, laugh.
Yes. Yep. Highly recommend.
All right. So what? You're the leader tonight. What are we digging in on?
Oh, so I recently with my therapist, I was like, I feel like you're not really getting me to dig into the reasons why I'm having the problems that we keep working on over and over and over. Mm-hmm. she was like, "Well, you know, I basically like I count on you to lead the conversation," and like, "Oh, God." "Well, yes, but." Instead of every time I'm like, I feel bad that I'm not getting things done. And then she's like, "Don't be hard on yourself." And I'm like, "No, I don't think I'm an asshole for not getting things done. I think that grownups don't generally start to fall asleep when they can't figure out what to do next." That to me sounds like a problem.
That sounds like it might be a red flag. At the very least, yellow.
Oops. Indecision gives me narcolepsy.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to give her one more session. And if I feel like she can pivot the way I really need her to, then we'll keep going. Mm-hmm. But something that I've been digging into is attachment styles. And Instagram was like, oh, here's this concept called remothering, which I'm sure I have heard of before. But my biggest issue, and this goes for almost everything, and some people, I've seen people on like ADHD social media talking about, let's get together and get people with ADHD to clean each other's houses. Right. And I've said a thing like that where like there was this one time my friend Mickey was doing a musical of a movie and they needed to find out if they could actually get the rights to do it. And I went like tickety tick tick tick. I got a free trial for IMDb Pro. I found the right person to call and I called them.
Oh, my shit.
And I don't remember exactly what happened, but, you know, I put him in touch with literally the person that he needed to talk to. The times that I have, like, helped friends advocate for healthcare issues, like that poor lady who couldn't find an MRI machine that would hold her weight.
Oh, yes, you were so good with that.
Stuff like that. When I get it under my nails, I can take care of someone else like a boss. And when it comes to me, I will let a lot of things slide. Now, thankfully, because of previous therapy, I am much better about self-care when it comes to things that I like. That's the other thing, too. My therapist would be like, give yourself a little treat for whatever. And I was like, okay, well, the things I like are food, alcohol, and buying stuff. And I don't think I should treat myself that way. Like, that shouldn't be what the reward is for doing something that's actually good for me.
That's a very mature reaction.
Well, again, these are three things that I'm not having a great time with right now. So, and I'm not a crazy shopper. We're fine financially, but like having had sporadic jobs and having been out of work because of this knee injury and stuff like that, I have a lot of guilt around money. That is something that we could unpack with my therapist at some point too.
Maybe not this one.
Right. But right. We were doing such good work. I just feel like she doesn't want to give it to me. And sometimes I really need to get it stuck. You know what I mean? I need somebody to ask me the fucking hard questions. Mm-hmm. And then I need to ugly cry about it. And then, you know, then I can process it. The remothering concept really appealed to me because if I can consciously think about if when you're processing something, you're dealing with the bad stuff that comes along with the unconscious reaction to the old trauma. That's like what PTSD is, more or less, right? You are unconsciously reacting to old trauma. Mm-hmm. And when you can pull it out and look at it and go, okay, I see you. I see you. I see the buttons. I get it. Trauma to your conscious mental health, you're no longer pulled down by the unconscious manifestation of your trauma. That's called integration. And I have been either avoiding or just like not able to put my finger on things by myself, which is why you hire professionals to do that. But the idea of remothering and not being like, you have to clean up your room. But thinking and looking around and being like, what if, oh my God, I'm going to cry just saying it out loud. What if my little self was here and I was my mom coming in and saying, hey, it looks like this is really frustrating. Can I help you pick up your room?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, not something that she ever did once because she wasn't capable of doing that for herself. And the other thing that's been coming up with attachment styles, for people who don't know, I am not a the best person to tell you everything about this, but Google attachment styles, there's a likelihood that you've already heard about it somehow. There's lots of great resources online talking about it, but you'll get various returns as to what the attachment styles are. A lot of people only refer to secure, avoidant / anxious avoidant, or anxious, which also can manifest as like anxious ambivalent. But there's a fourth one, which is called disorganized. And that one, I don't know if it's newer. You know how the DSM updates every so often and they're like, oh, whoops, being gay is not a mental illness. And also we forgot about this attachment stuff.
Yes, they always avoid disorganized.
So, and they were something that I was listening to specifically said that people with like alcoholic parents or as my therapist previously had, my mom was not an alcoholic and my dad, I don't think he ever drank, but I have a lot of the same symptoms.
Sure.
For whatever was happening with my mom, it was manifesting very similarly to growing up with an alcoholic parent. And the disorganized attachment style absolutely can show up very often in children of alcoholics. And the more I dug into that, I was like, oh my gosh, I never know what to expect. I did feel like I was in, like it was up to me to make my mom, to control my mom's emotions. I did feel that way, but I never knew what it would be. I never knew if I would bring her gross instant coffee in the morning and she would thank me and then roll over and go back to sleep, or if she would yell at me for waking her up, even though we had to be somewhere.
Yes.
I never knew. I would fall back on things that I thought would work and then they wouldn't work. So I would try something new. Which isn't the full scope of what it is. But thinking about this and doing deep dives, I will say, unfortunately, there was one Instagram that pointed me to a lot of great resources, but the woman behind it I find grating. Oh, well, I'll find somebody else. But it is way more approachable for me to think about less doing this for myself now and more doing this for myself back then. And at this point, doesn't matter. Like maybe at some point I'll be able to do it for myself now. But I have, I've had early morning art modeling a whole bunch of times this week, and I've been going to bed early and making sure I drink lots of water and getting up early enough so that I can eat something before I drag into the city. And you know, trying to put things away a little bit better and keeping it framed that way. I had started it with the Finch app.
Yes, your little bird.
Yes, that I was taking care of that little bird.
I was just thinking about that app the other day.
Yeah, it's fun. I've been using it since May, I think. And not every single day, but a lot of days. I figured out how to, you know, make the lists in the ways that work for me. And, you know, it's really rewarding when I'm like, oh, I loaded the dishwasher 5 days in a row. And then I get a little micro pet that looks like a little ghost with a top hat on who follows my little bird around. Like, it's very satisfying.
Yes.
It just isn't when there's things that I've been putting off. Those are the things that I have the biggest issue actually getting done. Does any of this resonate with you?
Totally. Yes. And it builds up the inertia and the dread and the shame.
Yes. Yes, yes, totally. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. My mom brings up, and this is very old, but like, so because my house was also a nightmare growing up in different ways, the second I got my license, I was gone. I just kind of never went home. I didn't go home until my parents were dead asleep. And then I would leave again the next day. And I was up all the time. I was with friends. I was out. And so my senior year of high school, I was not in my room was a way station, right? It was just like clothes everywhere.
Yeah.
Like trash all over the floor. It was the craziest environment I've ever lived in, mm-hmm. by a long shot. And I was barely living there. And one might even make the argument that I so didn't want to be in my house that I didn't even want to make my room appealing. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to take care of it, because if I did, not only would that require the time spent doing it, but then the desire to want to be there.
Right.
And
what's
I was
the point?
Like,
yeah, I get it.
Right? I was trying to disengage and mm-hmm. devalue. Mm-hmm. So then I go to college, and the first time I come back from college to visit is a couple weeks in, and my room is totally clean, completely clean. And my mom clearly has done it. And so I, you know, she like opens the door for me. And apparently I very sheepishly said to her, "Oh my God, thank you, Mom.
Aww.
It got so bad. I just didn't even know how to start."
Yeah. Yes.
And I could totally see. I mean, my God, I get more overwhelmed by laundry and not a giant pit of despair. So, like, it's definitely happened to me before. Or, like, I'll have several loads of clean laundry, and it just is, like, this mountain in front of me, and it builds up and up, just the yeah. dread of yep. not doing it. And then I've had to tap into to that, like, but wouldn't it be so nice if you could put these, like, listen to some podcasts and put these on hangers and, like, put your out-of-season clothes away and mm-hmm. maybe put new sheets on the bed. And wouldn't that be so nice and indulgent for you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of, I think that the indulgent thing for me is my creative space, where I don't necessarily feel guilty, but I am aware that we are very fortunate to have the apartment that we have. And that was, you know, that was luck, basically. The places that we were looking at when we wound up with this place were not as nice and not as big, and definitely not with enough room for me to have my own private space and for Don to have his own private space. But that should make it even more... That should make the impetus even more for me to make it a nice little paradise.
Oh, yes.
And I have, for the most part, I have a place for most things. I've gotten a lot better about that. I hired someone to come help me when I put up the shelves to be like, mm-hmm. let's really sort things. I can see it when it's other people's stuff. I can see the obvious places that where things should go. And I don't know why I can't see it with mine. It's so strange. But yeah, like, trying to be emotionally available for myself, specifically as man, like my younger self, mm-hmm. It makes me feel like a hero.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, I'm sure that you know this too. There are times when I have actually like cleaned the living hell out of the bedroom or the kitchen or something, or finally this room, where I do feel like a hero, where I'm like, I feel like I should be on the news right now.
Yes.
Did yes. y'all see that shit?
Oh,
I took care of it. But yeah, I didn't mention at the beginning, but attachment styles are supposed to be strongly linked to, you know, the care that you did or did not get from your parents when you were younger. So the idea of remothering is stepping in and as a surrogate and identifying times when you can't emotionally regulate and like taking a few deep breaths, and if you can get out of a panic spiral to be like, well, what is actually happening here? And like, what if there was someone who could come and calm you down? What would they say? Like, how?
Right.
It's one thing to be like, I'm okay, I forgive myself, I'm not a bad person, blah, blah, blah. But to get past it and to actually feel soothed in those moments, I mean, it's not something that I can always do by myself, but what if I'm not by myself?
Right. Right.
What if I'm with myself?
And that is a huge, I mean, it's a huge therapy tactic too, in like guided meditations, the meeting of the inner child, like it's healing the inner child and it's going back to the moment of the most, of the greatest fear, of the most insecurity, of the schism.
Yeah.
And like you, present day badass you, walking into that room with that little girl.
Right.
And like, what does she need you to say? What does she need you to see? What do you need to tell her? And like, I've done that a number of times in like really dark, deep, darky moments. And like, I don't know. It's always been really profound, really profound moments of like showing up for myself and like writing letters in many directions to that child, or that child to you.
For sure.
Or from your future self to you right now, or from you to your future self.
I do that. Yeah.
I love that.
I don't want to should on myself, as they say, but I know I feel better when I write, and I really have to write like with a pen in a notebook. I get a clarity. I rarely go back and read things that I wrote recently, but being able to spew a little bit in a journal style is so good. And it's double helpful because in all through college, because April was an avid journaler, I that's why my college years are so well documented.
Oh my God, God bless. I didn't touch a pencil for fucking years in college.
Oh, really?
Basically, yeah. I was really not writing very much at all, much to my chagrin now. And the greatest war crime of all was that I would throw away my young diaries because I was so embarrassed by what an earnest.
They are so embarrassing. But,
Yeah, that's why the only diaries that I have start with freshman year of high school, because I had them all through age 6, 7, 8. I would always throw them away. I was so mortified.
Right. So right.
So you had these journals going real steady and strong in college.
Yeah. And I was a mess. I've been messy in different ways over the course of my life. I do revel in the mess that I was in college, though. Like, I was so brazen and so fearless about so many things, and also still afraid of some of the things that I, you know, was dragging around with me. Men.
Yeah. Yep.
But
very really.
I love feeling like I can get back in touch with her. Like I again, if I had the knowledge I knew have now, and the skills and talents that I have now, and the ambition that I had when I moved to New York and was willing to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and stand outside in the snow to audition. Ooh, look out. It's just been a real treat to recenter and reframe things in this way. And I don't know, it hasn't fully clicked for everything yet. But it's getting to the point where I don't even have to stop and think about it as an alternative. You know what I mean? Where I can be like, oh, she would have really liked that.
Yeah.
She would have really liked that if she came home to a home that looked like this, and if it smelled nice, and like she would feel really good about having all of her hangers and clothes like facing the same way. Like, that feels indulgent to me.
Yes.
You know? I have mostly hangers that things won't fall off of, which is nice.
Yeah.
Why did it take so long for us to get wheels on luggage and to get velvet on to hangers?
Too fucking long.
Why did it take so long?
And it's such a worthwhile expense.
Yeah.
The first time I ever bought nice hangers for myself. And I couldn't fathom why someone would. I really couldn't. I was like, you get them for free at the friggin' dry cleaner. What are we doing?
Oh, God.
But then I bought my, you know, I went to like Home Goods and I bought myself a pack of 25 velvet hangers. And I was like, oh, game changer.
Oh, I've bought multiple packs. I feel like I'm due for one more. And then to really get the ones that don't serve me out. But yeah, I mean, it takes a while for them to break it. Those little investments are often the things that I hold back on because it feels like an indulgence.
Yes.
And it's so silly. As an example, and I highly recommend this, our ice maker broke. We had like water and ice maker on the fridge. I'm not going to go into what happened, but it would be very expensive to fix it. Less expensive to fix it. To get less expensive than fixing it, we got an ice maker that makes the good ice. Do you know what I'm talking about? The Sonic ice, the wet, soft, pebbly ice. Yes. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
The fun, pellety, crunchy, how you doesn't do that. Kill your teeth.
The hail. It makes hail.
Yes, it makes, yeah, it makes hail. But like not the chunky nugget things, not the big break your teeth ones.
Kind of
the ones where it's like halfway between an ice cube and a snow cone.
Yes.
Sleet. And
there's some sleet involved.
Yes. Sleet. Yes. Sleet. And it costs a good deal less than what it would have cost to just get that part of our fridge fixed. And yet it felt like an insane indulgence. And then I was like, it's not an indulgence to have an ice maker. And also, this is better for my teeth because I'm a crunchy girl.
Oh.
I'm a crunchy, crunchy. And it's really nice for drinks because it, like, you can get that, like, Mai Tai kind of vibe. Yeah. And it was in no way so expensive that I should think of it as a fancy, it's a treat. Sure, it's a treat, but it's a treat like any major appliance is a treat.
Right.
You're not like, oh, look at me. I bought a stove. Like, oh, God. Yeah,
anyway. I also had a really great paradigm shift when so I'm in this artist sway group that I've been in for like almost 2 years now. I guess a year and a half. Yeah, going on 2 years. And one of my pals from that group, she is so good at therapeutic cleaning. I classically am only good at rage cleaning. I swear to God, I'm not proud. I get pissed the fuck off and then I'm like scrubbing something and I just like that's where it all goes. It is useful, but otherwise I never want to clean. I only do it to blow off steam. And so it's never something I want to be doing.
Right.
And I always think it's in the way of something.
Yes. But
she really helped me see the ikigai of it, which is right, like the, oh, I'm gonna botch this, sorry y'all, the ikigai is sort of like the grand order and the spirituality of cleaning and of also of the just the pedestrian things in your life. Like Tracy Ellis Ross was on an episode of We Can Do Hard Things and they were like, what's the best part of being you? What's the best part of your life? Because, I mean, my God, she's got a lot to choose from. And she was like, the best part of my life is living my life. It's cleaning my bathroom and, like, taking my dog for a W-A-L-K. Or, like, you know, or like, mopping my kitchen. Like, it's the little things. And I was like, oh, I have never had that thought before.
Correct.
All of those things I have to tell just you, that been made in the way angry. Of me having fun.
Just hearing you say that made me angry. I wanted to be like, fuck you. Fuck you, Tracy Ellis Ross.
Yes. I mean, yeah. But then I was like, there could be a care to it. There could be a sense of that remothering of like,
right.
This is a gift for future you.
Yes.
This is a gift for you this afternoon when you decide that you want to take a nap, and then it's extra indulgent to take the nap because the living room is not a nightmare.
Right.
Because then the dishes are done, and then you can listen to the dishwasher go as you like.
And there's not a weird guilt hung up in it because, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I sometimes feel like I cannot go do things when I should be cleaning.
Mm.
And yet then I will just not clean.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I've really been trying to live in that ikigai place.
Ikigai. That is not something that I have heard before.
I definitely did not give the correct... I think I gave the realm of the answer, but my apologies for just, you know, not having a real grasp of it. But
being able to find some satisfaction, if not joy, you know what
mm-hmm,
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And again, it comes back to the fact that, like, I am only satisfied if I can scratch the whole itch. If I can, I am satisfied when my bathroom is clean, not when I have put some things away. You know what I mean?
I understand that. Mm-hmm.
And I'm a completionist. However, I actually do that thing where when I do take down something out of the medicine cabinet, use it, and then put it back, I do have a sense of, I did that for myself for later. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good job. Yep. Good girl.
I'm a hero.
Totally. Oh my God. I love doing little future favors for myself. Yeah. It feels so fucking good.
Yeah. Well,
we'll talk, buddies. More about
this. I hope that you do a little favor for your future self and that you give your past self a little hug.
Oh, it's a really nice experience, y'all. Strongly recommend looking into like a healing your inner child meditation. Give yourself a nice gentle afternoon and probably cry.
Or if guided you don't meditations want to. Are also something that I can't get through. I have literally not gone through one, not one, without falling asleep, which makes me wonder if I'm actually lulled or if it's something I don't want to face when I'm falling asleep. Because I have that wonderful defense mechanism where I'm like, problems, blope.
It, really interesting.
Boop, 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 boop. Yeah, so that's something I'll be sitting with.
Fuck. Well, right. We'll keep going on this for next week.
Yeah.
All right.
But till then, you know, go give yourself a little hug. Give your now self a hug. Also deserves a hug.
Big
your
time.
Tomorrow self and your yesterday self and today.
Yeah. For the near future and probably distant future. You know, just taking the temperature of things.
It's not getting better.
It ain't great.
So. All the more reason for us to take care of our future selves now.
That's right. Do yourself a gentleness. All right. I love you, Lillian Bustle.
I love you, Jen Ponton.
Oui.
Bye-bye.
We love you too, fuck buddies. Bye-bye.